Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. In our last study, we looked at, do not be partakers. That was in verse 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. The verses before us today teach us how to make that a reality. How we are not to be partakers. We live in a cruel, dark world that is dominated by sin. And in the midst of that darkness, God has redeemed the people, a people that he has empowered to be different. Ephesians 5:8 tells us that we were once darkness, for you were once darkness in the past. You were once darkness. We were lost, each and every one of us. We were as the rest of the world. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4. We were as the rest of the world. You wonder people all the time, hey Bill, why are people so wicked? 2 Corinthians 4, verses 4 through 6. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Christ's sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We were once darkness. We were in the darkness. But the Lord commanded light to shine. He made us alive, the scripture says. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. You were once darkness. Now you are children of light. Once darkness, now children of light. Before we were saved, our condition is explained to us in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. And you, he made alive. He made you alive. You were dead in trespasses and sin. You were just like the world. You were blinded by the God of this world. Don't look for heaven on this world. This world is dominated by Satan. You were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. We were by nature. That is what we were. We were children of wrath, children of disobedience, but something has changed. Something has drastically changed. Now we are light in the Lord. Look at Colossians 1:13. This is what has taken place. When he made you alive, this took place. Just think, if you win Cape Coral, and then all of a sudden you win Fort Myers. You got taken across the river. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His Son. You were living up in Cape Coral, and He transferred you from there to Fort Myers. He took you from this place and put you in this place. You were dead in your sins and trespasses. He made you alive. You were once in the darkness. He has taken you out of the darkness, and He has put you into the light. You were in this kingdom, and He has picked you up, and He has delivered you, turned you into another kingdom. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. Notice what it says. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Not He's gonna. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now we are light in the Lord. Since we've been changed, we're to walk in that light now. Look at Romans 13. A lot of people think salvation is a get out of hell ticket. Okay, I believe in Christ, get me out of hell, that's it. The penalty of sin has been taken care of, but the power of sin, well, I don't know about that. He has delivered you. He's taken you from the kingdom of darkness and put you into the kingdom of His glorious Son. Romans 13:12-14. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Look at verses 13 and 14 on your own. I wanted to make the point of put off and put on, just like it said in Ephesians. Matter of fact, verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. We are now children of light. You were once of the darkness, but now, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you have been changed. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you hear me say this all the time, but let me read the second half of the verse. Emphasize, I should say, the second half of the verse. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Now look at it right there, the indicatives. He's telling you this is what you are. So that, for this reason, that you may proclaim the praises of Him, notice, who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. If you're a child of God, your identity has been changed. You are a child of disobedience, now you're a child of light. We've been changed, and our lives should reflect that change. A change is taking place. You've been changed. Notice Ephesians 5, verses 9 and 10. For you were once darkness, now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So as a change is taking place, now there should be some characteristic about you, about that change. Change is taking place. Now something is to characterize your life. Our life should be characterized by what? Verse 9 in Ephesians 5 tells you. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Change is taking place. Now this should characterize your life. The fruit of the Spirit. Goodness, uprightness of heart and life, godliness in the motives, thoughts and actions. Basically, the quality of God-likeness. You're being conformed into the image of Christ, who is in the image of God. That's what He's calling us to. You who are children of light, we are to walk in the Spirit. We are to bear witness that Christ is real in our lives by these fruit, this fruit characterizing us. Goodness, righteousness, God has declared us righteous. He took away all of our guilt. He imputed the righteousness of Christ to our account. We've been declared righteous before God, even though we do unrighteous things at times. But in God's eyes, we have been justified. Christ's righteousness imputed to our account. So now that righteousness that has been put in your account, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you after you're a child of God, and you start living a righteous kind of life. A righteousness now is seen in our lives. When we live out the reality of who we are and what we have been made in Christ, you will look differently. You will act differently. You will walk as a child of light, because you were taken out of the darkness and you were transferred into the glorious kingdom of His Son. Goodness, righteousness. When you're hearing these things, does this characterize your life? You say, Bill, a change has taken place. Well, does this characterize your life? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness, righteousness, truth. Deals with honesty. Are you honest? Are you reliable? Are you trustworthy? This should characterize the child of light. When this quality is seen in the life of believers, truth, it stands in stark contrast to the hypocritical, deceptive, and false things of this world. If you stand for a truth in the age of relativism, well, your truth is your truth. That's absolute nonsense. Your truth is your truth. There's only one truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. Amen. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That is the truth. 2 and 2 is still 4. 2 and 2 doesn't become 44. Well, your truth is not your truth. That's absolutely idiotic. Relativism. There's any truth. Christ said, I am the truth, I am the way, and I am the light. And He said, I'm the light of the world. And now you are children of light. And you are to reflect goodness, righteousness, and truth. And if everybody hates you, you are to stand for the truth. That's what a child of light does. These characteristics are called fruit. And you will find this fruit in the lives of believers. And if this fruit is not in the light, in your life, do not be deceived. I'm not saying that fruit is fully ripened, but there got to at least be a couple blossoms. If you go look at a fruit tree and there's a bunch of watermelons hanging off, you'd be like, something's wrong here. Fruit of the Spirit. Children of the light. We have been changed. We have been changed. There's supposed to be 7 characteristics in our life. Now look what the Lord commands us. See the little alliteration there? Change. Characterization. Now command. Look at Ephesians 5 verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Pull the curtain back, like in the Wizard of Oz. They pulled the curtain back, and there's the wizard. We're to rather expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship means what? He told you in verse 7 last week, do not be a partaker with them. We're to be different. And those things which, that turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from every form of evil. Brothers, this is the brothers and sisters, this is the high calling that the Lord puts on us. And it has nothing to command. See, people, they hear commands, and it's like, oh, there's the imperatives again. Where's the grace? Where's the indicatives? He just told you. You were once darkness. Now you are a child of light. So you don't stop there and go, okay, yeah, I'm saved by grace, that's it, let me be as wicked as I was. He's conforming him to him as Christ. He said, now be light. You're children of light. Goodness, righteousness, the truth. Rather exposing the evil. The evil is so much in the lives of the saints today because it's in the pulpit, it's in the churches. It's how much more? How much more? I don't usually do this. I saw a preacher last night that if I said his name, every single one of you would know. I listened for 30 minutes and watched. I didn't hear sin mentioned once. I didn't hear hell mentioned once. I didn't hear you got to be saved once, wrath once. And barely at the end, it was, oh, well, Jesus had to say. And then he related it to his discussion. That's not standing for the truth. That's prostituting the truth. And that, brothers and sisters, do not be deceived. And you who's watching on YouTube, do not be deceived. That is the condition of the Church of Jesus Christ in the West. They have sold their soul for the mammon. To get people to come into the church, to take their money, to fulfill their rich lifestyles. You come in a goat, you leave a goat. As opposed to you come in a goat and you leave a sheep. Or you come in struggling and you hear the good news and you lift it up. You're living in an age, brothers and sisters, if you really believe that Christ is coming back shortly, well, it tells you. People are going to heap teachers onto themselves. They're going to tickle their ears. I couldn't even believe it last night. I was in tears. The person moderator should have been a motivational speaker, but yet claimed to preach the Word of God. I didn't even hear the Word of God. Change, characterized by the truth. What sin should we expose? Whatever sin that you see. And there's a time and there's a place for it. There's times to reprove and to expose. There's times to be direct. And there's times to be indirect. You're not to have a bullhorn and, hey, we back to that, not that, and this, and this, and this, and that. Take your brother or your sister on the side and be like, hey. Scripture tells us to reprove, to rebuke, directly, indirectly. We've been changed, characterized, and commanded. And notice why I'm saying what I'm saying. Look at verses 11 through 13. We've been commissioned. You're in the army now, I hate to tell you. That's the problem. A lot of people don't know they're in the army. Or the Navy, which I was in, whatever you want to call it, you're in the Lord's service. We've been commissioned. We're ambassadors. Verses 11 through 13 of Ephesians 5. Have no fellowship. It's shameful even to speak of those things which are done in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. We're commissioned to reprove and to expose sin. Expose evil for what it is. As I said, there's times to be direct and there's times to be indirect. People are selfish. It's about being indirect. There's direct confrontational, that's sin. There's indirect ways. People are selfish. We're to be givers. That's an indirect way of reproving the darkness. The world is selfish. You were selfish. Now you're to be a giver. The world curses. We're to bless. In direct confrontation. People lie. You speak the truth. Just what I was just saying about relativism and the truth. You could say that was more direct than indirect. Simply living for the Lord is a powerful testimony from evil. Against evil. You're in the job. You're a believer. Anybody ever said, oh, I'm sorry I said that. Well, why are they saying that? obviously they know you're a child of light. And just as quick as they were to say, "Oh, I'm sorry I said that," they'll be just as quick to say, "You know, you get a 15-minute break, it took 20. Aren't you stealing?" We're children of light, brothers and sisters. And we're to bear that fruit in our lives. One of our problems, though, is the fact that we don't take sin seriously enough. We laugh at it, and we refuse to stand against it. In the whole missional movement, the concept is try to be as cool and as hip and as adultive as you possibly can. I got tattoos, but I was a dope 50 years ago to get them. You got people today that are trying to be cool and hip and relative. Talk as worldly as I can, dress as worldly as I can, act as worldly as I can. We're to be different from the world, brothers and sisters. Different. If the Bible is for it, we're to be for it. The Word of God alone is to be the standard of our lives. We're not to bind people's consciences. That's a sin, that's a sin, that's a sin, that's a sin. If the Bible doesn't say it's a sin, then don't make it a sin. It's a matter of the conscience. Christians do that all the time. Don't smoke, don't drink, don't dance, don't watch TV, don't go to the movie, don't wear pants, don't wear shorts. You got to wear a suit and appropriate, don't do this, don't do that, whatever. We're not to bind the conscience. If the Bible says that's sin, that's sin. And we're to stand for that truth. We're to be people that manifest the light. Look what the text says in verse 18. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Manifest. We get that word from the Latin. Manus means your hand. Infestus, to strike. That's what manifest means. To strike with the hand. That's what manifest means. We're not to do that literally. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. When you tell people of their wickedness, it's like a smack in the face. I know when the guy that led me to the Lord was telling me about my sin, I was in his truck going on aluminum siding jobs, and I was shaking. I'm like, what's going on here? He started exposing all of my sin. And it was like a smack in the face, even though he wasn't doing it physically. But the Holy Spirit can whack you so much, you wish he was doing it physically. So conviction. So digs in your heart. Brothers and sisters, we could be real as Christians. Christianity is not some game. We're to be real about our sins, about our struggles, about our heartaches, about the reality of life. Far too often, religious people, they're playing the game. As opposed to, listen, you're going to struggle with sin the rest of your life. I'm 30-something years in the faith. I got to tell you, I still struggle with faith. I mean, with faith, yeah, with faith too, but with sin. But it's one thing to struggle with sin and for it to dominate you. Christ has called us not that sin should what? Not have dominion over you. Not have dominion over you. Make manifest. When we walk in the light, it makes the evil of the world around us easy to see. It's basically this, everything around you is evil just enough. Just go and turn the TV on, the radio, go to the supermarket. Just, I hear little kids in the store cursing and everything. Like, really? It's just like, the wickedness is just enveloping the world. And we're to be children of light. And, like right now, all the lights are on in this room. I'm up here speaking. If you turned all the lights off in this room, and I lit a match, that light would be, boom! Everybody would see it. Everybody would know that light. When there's a whole bunch of light, it's hard to see. Well, you go into a dark room, go into your dark house tonight, and you light a match. and everybody in that room would be able to see. And brothers and sisters, that's what we're called to. That's the kind of Christianity that we should be living. Goodness, righteousness, standing for the truth, and all the other fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, long-suffering, self-discipline. That should characterize our lives. And it should characterize our lives because we have been changed. So we are supposed to have different characteristics because we are commanded to have different characteristics because we have a calling on our lives. We've been commissioned to be children of light. And in closing, let us go to Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16. Children of light, changed from darkness to light, kingdom of darkness to kingdom of his glorious Son, dead in sins and trespasses, made alive, accredited righteous, changed, characterized by the fruit of the Spirit, commanded to be conformed into the image of Christ, commissioned to be ambassadors proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. That is what children of light do. Christ reminded us of this in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. Not you're going to be, you are. You're either going to be a little match or you're going to be a beacon. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. Got that little light of yours underneath a basket? But on a lampstand. Take it out from under the basket and sit on top of the basket. Light a lamp, put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives a light, notice, to all that are in the house. All your relatives, all your friends, all your neighbors, all your co-workers, all your fellow congregants. Brothers, this is a high calling that we have, brothers and sisters. Nor do they light a lamp, put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. Notice that. That they may see your good works. Notice. And what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy him evermore. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Want a practical application? I give it to you real simple. When people see your good works, are they glorifying your Father in heaven? Or are they saying, you know, you're really a hypocrite. You ain't no different than men. What you saying I am. Because Christ is saying that we have the opportunity, the privilege of glorifying the Father in heaven, even as Christ glorified him to the point of death. That's what each and every one of us have the opportunity and the privilege to do. And Father, I would pray that that would be true in our lives.